Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is God's Word in the Gospel reading from Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read again for us Jesus' words in verses 6 through 9. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So Jesus, when he was confronted by the religious leaders of his day and asked about marriage and divorce and about family life, Jesus refers them to God's Word. He says, what did you hear from Moses? Well, marriage and family life truly is a blessing. But if you know anything about it, it's not always peaches and cream. It's not always just fun. It's not always just what we look forward to on our wedding day. Now the truth is, it is fulfilling. It is, and it can be enriching with abundant joy, much joy. But there's also a part of it that can lead to pain and frustration. And if you've been married, you know that there's work involved. Not to mention some spiritual growth. Well, I'd like to talk with you today about what God's design for marriage is and where we are now. God's design for marriage is to bring intimacy or closeness between a man and a woman together. He says, one flesh. And you notice, this is not only for Christians. God is good to all. Just as the rain falls upon all as a blessing, and sometimes it doesn't seem like a blessing, but it is. So, too, he gives marriage to all. This is an estate for humanity, not just for Christians. And the church doesn't own marriage. It's an institution, yes. It's something that's important because of the way God created it. Now, you might say it's an arrangement, or a lawyer might say it's a contract, but it's something that's created by God. You see, it's useful for society to arrange itself this way. A man and a woman who fit together in physical union as well. One flesh. And marriage is for this life only. It's something, as we say, dissolvable only by death in its design. So the angels don't get married. But Jesus says the angels neither marry nor are given in marriage in heaven. And someday that will be the way it is for us too, but not in this life. So we see in God's Word His plan, His design for marriage, one man and one woman in a lifelong committed relationship for mutual joy and companionship and love, for unity. There's a sharing in marriage of really yourself, someone who knows everything that's wrong with you, and loves you anyway, and can forgive you. That's what it's designed to be. Human beings, we crave this intimacy. We want someone to know us. We want someone to love us that way that we are almost afraid to admit to ourselves that we're, do you really want to know the real me? We want someone to know that. And to love that. That's what marriage offers. But it doesn't always work that way, does it? That's the relationship that we had with our Lord at creation. Someone who knew us that intimately. That's what was broken at the fall. And it's not just this spiritual unity. God talks to us here, Jesus talks to us here, about physical unity. Could this text be any more physical? It's not just pie in the sky by and by, it's reality, dealing with reality today. That's what Jesus talks about. And the sad truth is, our reality today is far, far away from the way that God made us. We're not the way that God made us anymore. We confessed it earlier today in the confession. I am by nature sinful and unclean. That's the way I am now. It's the way all of us are. Broken human beings. So is it any wonder that our lives are filled with brokenness? Is it any wonder that our family lives are filled with brokenness? Is it any wonder that we face things like divorce and adultery and abuse? Is that the way that God designed it? You know the answer is no. You don't need me to tell you that. We are broken, but we are forgiven in Christ. Adam and Eve, that very first couple, our first parents, you might say, were the very first ones to feel that brokenness. First of all, the broken relationship that they had with God, that intimacy that they had with Him, where He knew them and loved them for who they were, was broken. And they were shamed when they disobeyed Him. And how did that brokenness play out in their relationship? Not just with God, but with each other. That was the first thing they did. She gave me that fruit to eat. And she points the finger back, or at the serpent. The first thing we do is blame each other. Does that sound familiar? If you're married, huh? If you live in a family or have lived in a family, you ever have somebody blame you for something? Or did you ever point the accusing finger at someone? Yes, we live in a broken world. And the brokenness of our world, the brokenness of our family life, plays out in ways that are very painful. Very painful. Because when you share that intimacy with someone, and that's abused in one way or another, it hurts. It hurts a lot. And if you've suffered the loss in a divorce, or a separation, or an estrangement, or abuse, or death of a loved one, you know what you've lost. And it's painful. That's the brokenness that we see. That's a consequence of the fall. So, we ask questions. Marriage and family life, the same questions that Jesus had, the Pharisees asked Jesus. The same questions that we have are the same questions that the Pharisees asked Jesus. He says, they come to Him and say, is it right for a man to divorce his wife? Now the Pharisees, let me tell you about the Pharisees. The Pharisees were like the perfect people that I'll put that in quotes, okay, air quotes, the perfect people that you see in life today, all right? Let's call them the Facebook Pharisees, all right? You ever go on Facebook? Do you see people telling you about the brokenness in their lives? Or do you see these happy pictures of everything's right in my life, okay? That's what you post on Facebook. People get depressed going on Facebook and seeing how happy everybody else is. Now, are they really that happy? I ask you. Are those people that you see on Facebook, are they really all that well off? Do they really have everything in order? Is their married life perfect? Are their kids perfect angels? Really? Or are they just as broken as you and I are? Now, the Pharisees were people who tried to live according to God's law, but they were also people who were really good at saying, this is God's law, and you're not living up to it. They were really good at that. Pointing the finger. Blaming someone else. Pointing out your brokenness. Not looking at themselves. So they asked Jesus, is it right for a man to divorce his wife? And he refers them to Moses. Well, what did Moses tell you? They say, well, Moses allowed us to write out a certificate of divorce. A Jewish male in those days could write out a certificate of divorce, give it to his wife. Is that God's plan? No. So why do the Pharisees ask that? Why do we ask that? Pastor, what are the rules about divorce? What are the rules about sex? Do I really need to tell you? Are you asking me for my approval? Or do you just want to know what God's Word says? You can read it. Why do we ask these questions? Why do the Pharisees ask the question? Well, I'll tell you why. You say, what are the rules so I know what I can get away with? That's part of our brokenness. What are the rules so that, oh, well, here's a lawyer one for you. What are the loopholes? And if somebody else is not following the rules, and somebody else is not following the little loophole that I've carved out for myself, because we're the ones who are calling out the rules, aren't we? Then I'm going to point my finger at them and blame them and tell them how broken they are. Forget about how broken I might be. This is part of our brokenness. And this is part of our adultery itself, too. Because when you and I make the rules rather than listening to God's plan, it's adultery. When you and I are not faithful to God's word, it's adultery. He says the church is the bride of Christ. Be faithful to Him. Be faithful to His word as He is faithful to you. We try to be faithful. This church calls me to be faithful to God's Word. And my job is to call you to be faithful to God's Word. Just as a wife is faithful to her husband. Now we fail at this. Alright? We talk about the brokenness in our lives. We talk about the brokenness in our marriages, our relationships, our family life. We live in this brokenness. But there's an answer to it. There's an answer to it. It's Jesus Christ our Lord, who is faithful to you. He is faithful to His promises. When we say in marriage, and forsaking all others, do you give yourself to this man or to this woman? Jesus Christ forsook everything to be faithful to you, faithful to death on a cross. When St. Paul says in Ephesians, submit yourself to one another out of reverence for Christ, that's what he means. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, so that he gave himself for her. He gave himself for her. And that her is you and me. That's how much he loves you. Now, there is brokenness in your lives. I know it. You know it. There's brokenness in my life too. But Jesus comes and says, I forgive you. Have you done something wrong in your life? Have you done something that you're afraid of? Have you done something I don't want to tell the pastor about? Or I do want to tell the pastor about? Either way, the answer is, confess it to Christ and receive his forgiveness. Because the answer is not to find the loophole and live in the loopholes of life. Because what happens at the end of life? Those loopholes are pulled shut. Okay? You die in a loophole. You want to die in a loophole? You don't have to. Live in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Live in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ our Lord. You can live in it today. And you will live in it forever because of what he has done for you on the cross. Live in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Surround yourself with those who are faithful. Those who are faithful to their marriages, to their children, to their parents, who are faithful to God's Word, who know what God's design is for marriage and for life in general. And try to live in accordance with that. And when you fail, and we all fail, the answer is to live in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave His flesh for us, for you. We have union with Him. We have union with Him in the flesh that He gives us in His body and blood today. Because that gives you forgiveness of whatever brokenness you have suffered or you have caused. That's the message of Jesus Christ our Lord to you today. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.